I am Digital Dave.
And I'm still Fast Eddie.
And who do we have joining us today, Fast
Eddie?
Well,
as opposed to what our schedule used to say, we have a whole new individual just beamed right in on us. We have Kirk Kotenberg here, and he's going to talk about the role of national aviation meteorologists.
There's so many meteorologists everywhere, I don't know who to believe.
Generally us.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
So you guys are these certificated aviation meteorologists then.
No, we all work really well together. So I'm from the Weather Service office in Green Bay. And we have a good relationship with the television media because we realize, like, you know, people like myself, I shouldn't be on television. Like, that's just not good for people's screens. So we issue the warnings, we issue the forecast behind the scenes, and then the local TV people go on and spread the word to help keep people safe. So we all work really well together.
Well, the idea between the weather is to make sure that everybody gets the same weather.
Yeah.
Anybody that's directly affected by it, like pilots and mm-hmm. others, they get what's really going on out there. And boy, that went right off the cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So aviation wise too. So like, there are so many facets of weather that impact people in different ways. Kind of where you were going. The Weather Service in Green Bay, so we're providing support for boots on the ground. So, like, Winnebago County Sheriff's Department and Oshkosh Police Department. If there's thunderstorms or something that would impact their response to help keep people safe, you know, we help keep them safe and keep them informed so they can keep the troopers safe and those who serve safe. And then on the aviation side, so for the sheriff, you know, we're looking at rain, thunderstorms, etc. And then you switch to aviation, obviously thunder is important, but then it also becomes things like wind speed, wind direction, and you have to get really nuanced, like, you know, the wind direction at 2,000 feet versus on the surface. You know, if there's a 30 knot difference, as you know, that's a big deal to the pilots. So
yes, it is.
So we look at all that and serve like a really, really big range of audiences and try to give them the best information they can so that they can stay safe and do what they need to do.
Have you been doing aviation weather for a long time? You're quite young looking, so I'm going to say no.
No, I've been in the Weather Service for 10 years.
Okay.
So just a couple gray hairs, but yeah, still pretty young.
Well, what I'm getting at, the whole point of that question was, how much has the technology improved in the time you've been there?
Yeah, so it's pretty incredible. The whole picture has improved. Starting with technology, especially like back when I was in college, some of the forecast model would have what we call like forecast resolution. So think of like your camera of like 40 kilometer grid spacing. So like any like really localized weather, like you really couldn't be able to tell the difference within like, you know, 40 kilometers. Like that's pretty far distance. But nowadays we're down to like 0.25 miles. So like the computer,
quarter mile resolution.
Right. So like it's just it improved incredibly. So that's the computer models. And then our mission, kind of like I was talking about earlier, to keep people safe. The Weather Service actually hired, I think it was two social scientists at the national level. And the point is, like, if I give the most perfect forecast in the world, like aviation forecast, you know, the exact wind speed, exact, down to the knot, like perfect. But the end user, being the pilots or the sheriff or whoever, doesn't know how to use that forecast, doesn't know how to take the action they need to keep themselves safe. And like, how good is that forecast, you know, if they're walking around confused? So we've really focused on not only like improving the technology, but also to like the reception and helping people understand what actions they need to do to stay safe.
Okay. So you're improving the delivery as well.
Yes. Yep.
And as far as walking around confused, there's a lot of reasons for that.
Yes.
So I'm thinking you, with that kind of resolution, when my phone says it's going to rain in 1 2/3 minutes, I can believe that.
Right. Yeah. We're starting to get down to that level.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And you but you still want pilots to call in and say, "Hey, look, there's some rain up here. No, you didn't tell me about."
Yeah, or you know, turbulence too. Like, you know, we'll still take those reports also.
Okay, PIREPs are important, guys.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And there's a lot of turbulence out there. I saw a report the other day where they're saying that the turbulence has improved, gotten worse, not improved.
Which one was that?
It got worse.
Okay. For a second, I thought he was going to say the turbulence in here has gotten worse.
Oh, it has.
Give us another 10 minutes and it'll...
Yeah, it'll pass. There's a turbulence front passing through the studio right now, but...
I've been asking this question all week for the weather, guys. I mean, do you get excited when the weather starts to get a little nasty? I mean, sometimes I think the guys on TV report with glee. Hey, there's doom and gloom coming.
Yeah, yes and no. I can't speak for everybody. You know, it's probably just like pilots. Like, some people, like, there's turbulence. All right. You know,
let's go.
But other people are like, no, like, steer clear. So weather is kind of similar. You know, there are some people who, like, you know, love thunderstorms and, like, just love the, you know, the science and, like, oh, yeah, thunderstorms. But then, like, myself. So, like, part of what we do also is, like, we do damage surveys. So, like, the day after either, like, a strong straight line wind, thunderstorm, or a tornado, we will go out to the scene and determine what caused it. If it was a tornado or if it was straight line winds, we'll take a look at the damage and try to kind of assess what happened. And then we'll take a look at the wind speed. So we'll take a look at what happened to the thing, you know, if it's a house or a barn or something. And then we'll figure out the wind speed that caused that damage. And so, like, you know, for myself, like, just seeing that aftermath, you know, kind of gives me a little less, like, you know, my younger days, I might have been like, you know, all right, thunderstorm. And I actually used to storm chase.
Okay.
You know, we, hopefully my mom's not listening. We, in theory, we would drive around the country. And, you know, we'd rent a minivan and say it was for career networking, quote unquote.
Right.
And go storm chasing. So, you know, back then, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, tornado. But then just seeing it from this side of the field, you know, seeing, like, you know, this is someone's house that was destroyed, you know, someone's livelihood, someone's property that they've, you know, worked all their life to build and earn. You know, seeing that damage, you know, really kind of makes it a little bit more sombering than in my younger college days. So, and long story short, it's kind of a mixture. Some people still get excited, but, yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, the one thing, especially with the heavy weather bit of it, you've got to be on your A game there because mm-hmm. when you have like a squall line moving through, these things change rapidly.
Yeah, exactly. And some of them too, like some of them literally move at like 70 miles an hour. So, you know, from like here to the Wausau Airport would, you know, probably normally be like an hour and a half or so drive. Then the thunderstorms that are moving that fast, you know, they're here in like an hour. So you think of like, you know, it takes me an hour and a half to drive to Wausau, but this thunderstorm's here in an hour from Wausau. So like, you know, holy cow, it must be moving, you know, booking really fast. And yeah. So, yeah, just the conditions that can change on a dime like that, you know, really, really, really sensitive, obviously, across the board, aviation and boots on the ground support. So we're fully prepared to staff up. You know, we have... meteorologists on site here throughout the week, morning and evening. So for like the Saturday evening show, we'll have someone here till 11. And it kind of gets into the whole specter of emergency preparedness. I'll slowly step out of the swim lane a little bit. You know, we have to be prepared, you know, us and like the sheriff and, you know, EAA security. You know, we're on site constantly here throughout the week, and we have a big amount of people prepared to respond in a big way if needed. But if the weather's quiet and sunny like today, you know, it's like, hey, you know, we don't really need the weather guys, you know, why are you guys even here? It's like, and so that's why it's like for that preparedness, because as we've seen in years past, you know, last year was pretty stormy too. So like we just have to be prepared, and you know, we can't be an hour away and then like, oh, now we need the weather guys, come here. Or like, you know, the sheriff, like they're 15 minutes away at the sheriff's office, like, no, we need you here now. Like, you know, instead of them be actually being here to respond quickly. So it's all about preparedness also. And, you know, months in advance, we're working with our partners here We do like a tabletop exercise every year to kind of just make sure all of the agencies supporting EAA are on the same page and can respond to keep people safe to the extent possible here and be able to respond as efficiently and successfully as possible.
Very good, very good. You feed flight service stations their weather, right? So you don't directly deal with pilots.
Right. We'll work with the FAA. There's also, so the Aviation Weather Center is another kind of arm of the National Weather Service. And they're here also embedded right next to the FAA people to tap them on the shoulder like, hey, you know, even on a sunny day like this, you know, sometimes there's clear air turbulence or something that, you know, you might not think wind will be an issue, but all of a sudden it is. So they can tap the FAA folks right on the shoulder there and, you know, let them know of any wind direction shifts or anything like that pretty instantly. And so, yeah, it's another way we help keep people safe there.
Well, good. I like you keeping people safe.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing of it being is that a lot of people, myself included, have noticed that the severe weather seems to be getting more frequent and worse in intensity. I've seen squall lines from the Gulf to Canada. Mm-hmm. That's got to drive people, especially you, nuts.
It's been quite a year. Here in Wisconsin, we have never had a tornado in February until this year.
Yeah.
This year, yeah. I think it was February 8th, I think, down in southern Wisconsin. First ever tornado in the month of February. So
wow.
Things are changing.
What was that? Kirk
Totenberg.
Right. I want to thank you for joining us.
Yes.
This is Digital Dave.
And Fast Eddie. And this is EAA Radio.